You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Imagine it's the end of a long day and you're exhausted, but you still have to make dinner and you don't have the time or energy or maybe even the money to go shopping and you don't feel like eating takeout again. Julie Powell joins us now with tips on how to make great meals with what's already in your kitchen. She's the author of a blog and the book, Julie and Julia, My Year of Cooking Dangerously. Nora Ephron's film based on that bestseller will be in theaters this August. And Julie's second book, Cleaving, A Story of Marriage, Meat, and Obsession, is due in December from Little Brown. Julie Powell joins us for part four of our Food in the City series. Welcome to our show. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
Your last book chronicles your quest to cook every recipe in the Julia Child Mastering of the Art of French Cooking in 1 year. Could you use her book to put together a last-minute meal, or would it usually require making a special trip to the market?
Oh, not special trips to the market. I think if you wanted something quick, Julia Child's not necessarily the person to go to. But yeah, you know, you could make crepes, you can make omelets, anything. Quick egg dishes are always great, and she has a whole chapter in Mastering the Art on just eggs. So that's always one I turn to.
Do you think it's easier today than it would have been when the book was published because so many more things are available, so many things that we associate with French cooking are available in the local supermarkets, and then we have the green markets?
Certainly. I mean, shopping now is such a more pleasant experience than it was back in the day. But then again, Julia was writing specifically for housewives who were stuck with grocery stores from 1961. So she did make allowances for that. That was one of the reasons the book's so accessible to people.
And despite that, the food comes out tasting very French.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and that's French food for you. I mean, as much as you can get wonderful cuisine in France, the cuisine itself is based on, hey, I need some to do something with this, you know, terrible piece of meat I have. French are very good at that.
And until recently, I gather, the French tended to cook lunch as well as dinner at home.
Right. Which is so foreign to Americans and especially New Yorkers who are always out and about and ordering in all the time.
Well, you did. You wrote an article, an op-ed piece some years back for the New York Times, critical of the green markets. And you weren't talking about the French markets, were you?
Not at all. And in fact, I wasn't criticizing the markets per se. I mean, I go to the green market all the time. All I was criticizing is a certain smugness that, you know, comes along with this sort of organic fresh food movement for some people. I actually think that that's sort of lessening to a certain degree as it becomes more common. But, you know, I recently was interviewing with a German journalist, and she was like, what's the big deal? I mean, we have markets. This is how we shop.
But we didn't.
Yeah, no, and we didn't. So it's new for us, and it's exciting, but it's also kind of, there's some cachet involved.
When Nora Ephron was making the movie based on your book, did she film it in your real kitchen?
No. They rebuilt the kitchen on a set, but she did come to visit the apartment that I had done the project in, which is not, thank God, the apartment that I'm living in now. And she visited, and she was very, very concerned to get the kitchen just right. It's actually, the kitchen in the movie is smaller than my kitchen was, actually.
Well, in movies, of course, they can break away the walls.
Of course.
But filming in some of these small New York kitchens might be a real problem. Cooking in them is a real problem.
That's true. I have had film crews in my kitchen, and it's problematic at best.
When you moved here from Texas?
Yes, I went to school up in the East and then came here to New York.
And that must have been a culture shock in terms of kitchens, although I don't know whether you were interested in cooking at the time, because if you grew up in the kind of homes I've seen in the rest of the country, they always have big kitchens.
Right. No, it's space in general is a shock when you first move to New York. I think that's one reason I've never lived in Manhattan is that I can't see living in those teeny tiny shoeboxes, and I can't afford anything bigger. So we've always been outer borough people, mostly because of space, I think. It's a definite adjustment.
And I imagine you're cooking quite differently than your mother would have cooked or your father. I don't know. Did your father cook?
My father cooks very occasionally. He has one lasagna bolognese recipe that he makes, and of course he does the grilling. But my mom has always done most of the cooking. And I cook differently than my parents do, certainly. But I still go back to a lot of the sort of home Texas favorites. It's a nostalgic thing for me.
So when you're not cooking to your child, you're cooking things from your childhood.
That's one of the things I'm cooking. But I also cook lighter than either my mother or Julia most of the time now. So,
but you've said that Julia Child's cookbook was a great textbook for beginner cooks. What techniques did you learn from using her cookbook that you use today?
Oh, well, I mean, everything. To me, French cooking is just cooking. I mean, all the basic techniques that you need to know, from sautéing to, you know, understanding how a roast cooks and works to you know, dessert making, baking. It's all in there, and so I learned tons of techniques.
And it's tempting for people in other cultures. People in Mexico are complaining now that too many of the young chefs are using French techniques instead of the traditional Mexican techniques, and we're seeing a bit of that in Chinese cooking as well.
Right. I mean, I think that all chefs at some point feel like France is, you know, the epitome, and then they go back and they, you know, recalibrate. But yeah, I mean, I do think French techniques have a place, but then so do Mexican techniques and Chinese techniques, and all of them do. There's a lot to be gleaned from all those cultures.
In cooking all of those recipes from Julia Child's cookbook, did you wind up stocking certain staples that you might not have had otherwise?
Well, one thing that I had to always have when I was cooking from Julia Child was butter, lots and lots and lots of butter. And before that, I hadn't cooked. Like most people nowadays, you cook more with, you know, olive oil or something. But during the year of the project, I always had at least 2 pounds of butter in my refrigerator. It's not quite so much now, but I do retain the habit of having at least a stick.
Well, you were cooking every night. You were cooking a different recipe. Even Julia didn't do that. She said you should always cook with butter because, well, you're not going to eat that rich food
every day, right.
What happened to your cholesterol level?
Oh, it was bad. Yeah, the cholesterol shot up. The weight was not so good. It was. It's not a way to eat for a year. Absolutely, I don't think anyone would recommend it.
It's kind of like eating out at a fancy restaurant every night.
Exactly. It's an indulgence, and it's something that's worth doing, but you can do it sparingly.
My guest is Julie Powell, who shot to prominence when her book, Julie and Julia, My Year of Cooking Dangerously, became a monster bestseller. You'd have been doing your blog up until then. The book comes out of the blog?
Yes. The project started as a personal project, and I did blog it mostly as a way to sort of document what I was doing as I was doing it.
That was kind of like keeping a diary?
Yes, it was. And this was back in 2002, and I don't think anybody really understood what blogging could do or where it was going to go. So for me, it was simply a way to kind of keep track. But then once the project was over and I got the opportunity to write the book, I just basically printed the entire blog out, which was thousands of pages, and worked through it. And it's not pages directly from the blog. It's rewritten, but that was a very valuable asset to have when writing my first book.
Today you'd probably tweet. Yeah, I could just see. Just cracked 2 eggs.
Oh, those. Yeah, the Twitter recipes that a lot of people are doing these days. That's. I don't know. I feel like I'm too old for Twitter.
Well, we asked you as part of our Food in the City series to cook with stuff that's on hand. Do you normally cook that way?
Not really. I mean, I think that one of the great things about New York is that you're always out and about. It's very easy to just pick up stuff for the day, whereas, you know, in lots of other cities, you try to plan for a whole week, which is, it's a good thing to do that planning, but I'm lazy, and I usually just sort of run to the store and get what I need.
Well, when we came to film in your kitchen, you had just come back from being on tour.
Right.
So you probably didn't have a lot of stuff on hand.
Yeah, I'd been gone a few days, and the refrigerator was looking a little bit scary. But it was also time to clean some stuff out, so that's what we.
But that's also a nice way to cook, isn't it? I have these things; they're going to go bad. I might as well cook them now.
Absolutely.
And can you imagine a recipe in your mind? Because you did cook from a recipe.
Mm-hmm. I'm an avid recipe follower. I'm not one of those people who loves to, you know, improvise and throw things together. I'm submissive that way. I like following other people's words. But it's gotten much easier for me in recent years to throw something together, to figure out, you know, based on what I'm looking at. It's a really creative way of doing it.
Well, when you were doing all of Julia's recipes, you must have thought about certain patterns that you were seeing.
Yes, and
certain
absolutely.
Combinations of ingredients and tastes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what's so great about that book, is that you become familiar with what continues to be the same and what is necessary and what is not so necessary.
Well, the recipe that we filmed you making was mm-hmm. classic potato tortilla with peppers.
Mm-hmm.
Does using a recipe help or hinder the challenge of only cooking with what you have on hand?
Well, it can help and hinder. If you get too caught up in a recipe and, you know, that you don't have everything you need, that can get you kind of hobbled. But once you start looking at recipes as guides, and I really think with these Spanish tortillas, they really lend themselves to improvisation.
Now, we should point out they're Spanish tortillas. Mm-hmm. The word tortilla means something different in Spain than it does in Mexico.
Right, exactly.
It's originally from Spain, so those corn things that you get in Mexico right. really should not be called tortillas.
Yeah, you know, I really don't know how that etymology worked out and why it means two such very different things in Spain and Mexico. But a Spanish tortilla is an egg dish. It's almost like a frittata. Usually has potatoes in it. And that makes it really easy because I always have potatoes and I always have eggs. And then I can just improvise with the rest.
There's a website called allrecipes.com in which you can type in some ingredients and mm-hmm. then it gives you potential recipes to cook with. Have mm-hmm. you ever tried that?
You know, I've not actually tried that website. It's a great idea, and I think really useful for people because when you open up the fridge and just don't know what to make with what you got there.
You said once that you hated eggs. What's happened?
I had a change of heart. Julia turned me around on them, actually. I had never eaten an egg before I started the project.
Really? Never eaten an egg?
Well, you know, I ate eggs
and
cakes.
You grew up in Texas.
Okay, I would eat occasionally. I would eat scrambled eggs.
You had chickens in the backyard, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, right.
All the
Texas.
No
chickens in my backyard. I was a city girl. But I was real stubborn about it. I wouldn't eat them. But I've completely turned around on them now. I really like egg dishes.
And this recipe is really the equivalent of an omelet with potatoes in it.
Absolutely. And it's real. But the potatoes make it easier. You know, omelets can be pretty delicate. But the potatoes kind of give it a little more. Well, first of all, there's more to it. But it also makes it a little less difficult to flip and a little less delicate.
And if you had discovered when you started making this recipe, once you had your heart set on it, mm-hmm. that you were missing one or two ingredients, would you have been able to come up with substitutions?
Yeah, you know, once you have the basics, if you got the eggs and you got the potatoes, anything else is sort of, you know, icing on the cake. Actually, when I made this recipe, when y'all were in the kitchen, I discovered that on my back, I have a little garden growing on my balcony, and it was the first year that I tried to grow peppers, and my first Anaheim pepper was ready, so I decided I would just throw it in there. And that's the kind of thing you can do with this.
And you roast a pepper on an mm-hmm. open flame from your mm-hmm. your gas range.
Right.
Is that something you do a lot?
Yeah, you know, that's it. Again, I guess it's my Texas background. We cook with a lot of spice and we use a lot of chilies, which is also why I decided at the last minute on this recipe that I was going to make a chipotle mayonnaise to go on top, since the chilies are kind of giving it a slightly southwestern flair. And I always have chipotles in the fridge, always, always, always. And sometimes they, you know, once you open the can and it gets kind of goopy, and so I wanted to go ahead and use it since it was already open.
Chipotles are really smoked
mm-hmm.
chilies.
Smoked jalapenos, actually, and they're stored in an adobo sauce that's really smoky and a little bit sweet and hot. It's not for everyone.
My guest is Julie Powell, who is one of the contributors to our Food in the City series. You can see her by going to our website at wnyc.org. You can also read her. She has – is the blog still in effect, the Julie Julia Project?
Oh, the Julie Julia Project is sadly defunct, though you could probably surf it somehow. But I do have a web blog that's at juliepowell.blogspot.com. But mostly I just sort of dabble nowadays in blogging.
And we have the book, Julie and Julia, My Year of Cooking Dangerously. We have mm-hmm. the new movie that's opening on August 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Julie Powell, whose book, Julie and Julia, My Year of Cooking Dangerously, became a major bestseller and allowed Julie to move to a better apartment.
Yes.
And now there's a film that has just been made starring Amy Adams and Meryl Streep. It's got to be exciting to have Amy Adams playing you, Julie.
You know, you could do a lot worse, right?
And Meryl Streep is Julia Child. I hear the advance on it is that she is perfect.
She's extraordinary. Yeah, I have seen it. And she's all four of the major cast members are put in such wonderful performances. But, you know, I was going to call her Julia. Meryl is always, as always, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Were you consulted?
I did a little bit of quote-unquote consulting, mostly when the script was being written. Nora sat me down and asked me all kinds of tough questions about the blog and about, you know, what my thoughts were, and then she went back to her room and wrote this amazing script.
Mm-hmm. Kind of based on the book. And movies are, you know, a lot of people are disappointed when they see the film based on their book because it is never the book.
Oh, no, of course not. And I, luckily, I'm pretty good at sort of giving up my babies. Once they're out of my hands, I'm fine with it. And Nora did an amazing job. She's trying to cram a ton of stuff into this book because she's also doing Julia Child's history and from her book, My Life in France. So it's a lot of information.
Well, have you ever invented a recipe? Because those can be your babies, too.
That's true. You know, I don't write down recipes very often. I often cook without them, but it's always sort of a surprise if I get it right.
The reason I ask is some years ago, the recipe that I cooked in our as part of the series, mm-hmm. my pancakes, somebody who really loved it told a chef about it. And the chef said, oh, I'll put it on my breakfast menu.
Oh.
And he put it on the menu as Leonard Lopate's half-inch-high pancakes. And then I went to eat them, and they were nothing like my pancakes. He said, well, I added some butter. He did everything wrong as far as I was concerned.
Right.
But to me, he was ruining my baby.
Right, right. No, I can see that. That would be a little but I think it's just the same with writing, with anything else. I think once I've written a piece or certainly a book, the editors take it over, and sometimes they make changes I'm not thrilled with, and occasionally I'll throw a fit, but usually it's like, this is yours now.
Well, since the recipe that you cooked, that you prepared on our video, mm-hmm. is semi-improvised, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Do you think people should follow it exactly?
Oh, no, I don't think they need to follow it exactly at all. I think that recipe, I mean, that's what I did that day. Other times I slice artichokes into the mix. Like, you know, truffle oil is tremendous. You can do anything with it. That's what's so great about it. And I think it's what's so great about egg dishes in general and why I always keep eggs, because if it's 11 o'clock at night and if you've got some eggs, you're going to be able to eat, and usually pretty well once you've got the techniques down.
People can see the video of Julie Powell making the Spanish tortilla with peppers and chipotle mayo on our show page at WNYC.org. And I warn you, it will make your mouth water, and you probably will want to do it exactly. Although there was one moment that gave me pause. you pulled the lettuce out of – it was pre-washed. People
– yeah.
I speak to in this field,
sure.
Get very upset about
lettuce
that comes in the bag.
I know they do, and I should probably be a, you know, good culinary purist, and I try to get to the, you know, green market and buy my greens and, you know, keep them all fresh. But I have to say, you know, those little boxes keep them fresh for a lot longer, and sometimes I just don't want to go all the way to the green market, and I'm pleased to have something green on my plate that I don't have to traipse around for, and I'm
you just
proud,
come back from a book tour.
I had, well, yeah.
Was
yeah.
that the paperback version?
It was actually a tour for the movie. I've been doing promotions for the movie, so I had been out and about and running around for 3 or 4 days, just breathless, and I was exhausted, and they gave me these shoes to wear that had like 4-inch heels, and I just couldn't think about going to the store that day. It was just impossible.
Who gave you four-inch heels? Not my staff.
No. I got a little swag. So there were some nice shoes. They're gorgeous, but God, they hurt, man.
My guest is Julie Powell, and as I said, you can see her cooking Spanish tortilla with peppers and chipotle mayo and the salad, salad that I guess you made up as well, on our website at WNYC.org. We want to involve you, our listeners, in this series, too. If you have a secret ingredient that transforms a recipe or a favorite dish that you've made your own, well, send it in to us. And then Chef Michael LaMonicle will be going through them all and pick his favorite dish, and then he'll cook it with the winner in his restaurant. To submit your recipe, visit our show page at WNYC.org. But remember, the deadline is tomorrow. Have you ever cooked with a chef? It can be scary.
It's terrifying. I don't guess I've cooked with a chef. I cooked on Martha Stewart's television show, and she, you know.
That could be scary.
Luckily, she kind of just took over, and I was like, that's fine. I'm going to stand here and look pretty while you actually do the work here. So, yeah, it's terrifying to cook with someone who's a professional. It's really, really intimidating.
Well, the good part is that you can learn. The bad part is that when they chop up something, like they mince an onion or something, there's no way that I can ever do that.
Yeah, the knife skills thing and of course they show off and they're pretty proud of their knife skills, as well they should be. But whereas I'm, you know, chop, chop, chop. There's a whole scene in the movie of Julie and Julia that depicts Julia Child learning to properly chop onions, and it's a very triumphant moment for her when she can chop as fast as the professionals.
You think you'll ever get to that point, or do you want to get to that point?
It's not hugely important to me to get to that point. I get the onion chopped, and I'm not on TV doing it for millions of people, so I'm good.
Would you like to just spend a few moments talking to some of our listeners?
Of course.
Okay, our number here is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Of course, you can always leave a comment for Julie on our show page as well. I'm trying to get the phone box to work here so that I can see who is calling in. That's my big problem right now. Here it is. Okay, 212-433-9692. Julie Powell. By the way, the recipe for her classic potato tortilla with peppers can be found in Anya von Bremzen's cookbook, The New Spanish Table. Of course, you can also find it on our website. Mm-hmm. And did you give the recipe for your special chipotle mayo to our staff?
I did. It's my very special chipotle mayonnaise, which is Hellman's mayonnaise with a chipotle pepper chopped into it. Yeah.
Well, that that sounds complicated.
Yeah, it's really tough.
212-433-9692. I've always wanted a movie made about me.
And, really?
Yeah. And I've always wondered who would play me.
What did you think? What did you decide?
Well, you know, then Paul Newman died.
Oh, yeah. That was a bit of a tragedy for you.
Mm-hmm. And you have Amy Adams. That's quite extraordinary.
I do.
Let's take a call from – oops, I was going to take a call. Can I get this call on the air? Or should I not get it on the air? Having problems here. Okay, Susan from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Yep.
Susan? Is something going wrong there with our technical capabilities? This is a talk show. Hello? Susan. Okay. Well, anyway, Susan, it would have been great. We will try again.
Sorry, Susan.
212-433-9692. Susan is gone. I don't know what they wanted to ask you.
Oh, well.
So many people read the book, I would assume that they have all sorts of really interesting questions. What happens when you go on the tour?
I get lots of really interesting questions. I love meeting the people who really enjoyed the book, and it's such a thrill obviously it's great to have someone say, I liked it.
Well, tell me about the new book.
Sure. The new book, as you read, it's Cleaving, a story of marriage, meat, and obsession. And it's about I spent a year learning to butcher at this amazing butcher shop in upstate New York in Kingston called Fleischer's. And, you know, learned how to break down sides of beef and met all kinds of amazing butchery people.
Not easy. I tried once.
Oh, no, it's heavy work. It's definitely, I mean, getting that chuck shoulder out, just getting it on the table is, you know, that's 150 pounds of meat. But I love doing it. It's a really wonderful skill to have, I think.
They had me stop very soon because they said, this meat is very valuable.
Yeah, they
we don't need it butchered. I said, but isn't that what I'm supposed to be doing? They said, no, butchered in the other meaning
right,
of the
right,
word.
Right, right. I actually hate that use of the word now because butchery is so delicate, actually.
Nora from Port Chester, hi, you're on the air. Nora, is something going on here? Am I doing something wrong? Are the gods conspiring against us? Nora?
Oh.
Okay. We've discovered that this talk show has problems with its phones.
Yes, well, you know, I have problems with my phone too, so.
Yeah, but this is not a cell phone and we're not downstairs at the subway. This is a phone system, a very sophisticated phone system that was invented by some British person. And that's why it says chat instead of talk.
Oh, that's sort of sweet.
Let me try to read what some of these listeners were saying. Can you cook garlic and onions together?
I think that depends on how you're cooking it. It's true that garlic burns real quickly and you don't want it to get bitter. So I usually put the onions in a little first, depending on what I want the onions to be, if I want them browned or just softened. If I just want them lightly softened, I think you can throw the garlic in at the same time. Or just don't chop it up too fine.
But the garlic is more likely to burn if you cook it.
Yeah. If it gets browned, it gets bitter. So that's not always great.
Another listener wants to know if you were inspired by the novel The Hours by Michael Cunningham.
I read The Hours after my project was finished, actually. So it wasn't a direct inspiration. I have to say I was not an enormous fan of the book. I was not an enormous fan of the movie either, though the scene when Meryl Streep separates the eggs in between her hands was like one of my best favorite cooking scenes ever.
Chefs do have all these incredible little tricks that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So a chef who separated a yolk simply by letting the whites slip through his fingers.
I love that. That's the way I do it. And I think I always feel very proud of myself when I do that.
Simon from New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Oops, Simon, I took you off. Now I put you back on. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Good.
We got you on the air. That's great.
Yeah. I'm 19 years old. I'm interested in getting into cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Various types of cooking, cuisine, French, Italian, whatever.
Sure.
Do you have any suggestions for, you know, an amateur cook?
Well, you know, I mean, I was continue to be an amateur cook. I mean, are you interested in getting into it professionally, or you just want to learn to cook, like, so you can throw things together?
I just want to learn to cook, you know, be self-sufficient, make some delicious meals, impress some ladies.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, Mark Bittman is a great person to go to. He writes the minimalist column for the New York Times, and he's written a book called How to Cook Everything.
He's written a whole bunch of books.
Everything. Yeah, and he's fantastic because he keeps it real simple, and yet there's a lot of good, solid technique in there, and you can learn things that you can kind of build off of. I like Cooks Illustrated for the same reason, because they're actually really geeky about making the very best version of whatever it is, like chicken piccata or cornbread or whatever.
And do you cook from those recipes?
My husband loves Cook Illustrated. He cooks from them all the time, way more than I do. But I think those are two really good resources. And then other than that, I mean, I just attitudinally, you just need to get in there and not be afraid to screw up the first few crepes or omelets or whatever it is you want to make.
And if you really want to impress somebody, cook it without anybody eating it with you or with a friend who is very tolerant. And then if it works, then cook it the next time. Right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. A little bit of practice before you roll out roll it out for company is good. That's a lesson I've learned the hard way.
Susan from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. In my case, it was really the year of living dangerously. I did what you did in 1970 and 71,
mm-hmm.
went through the entire book. I was married at the time, and my husband was very thin and decided this would be the way to fatten him up.
Did it work?
Yes, but it worked. We did get a divorce shortly after that when I discovered food and adventure and went to live in Provence around the time that Alice Waters was there.
Gotcha.
And was in correspondence with Julia.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just the most incredible human being. Here I was, an amateur cook, and we corresponded back and forth, and, I became professional as a result. So.
Great, great. You know, Julia was so amazing, both just in her book and through her book, and her dealings with all of her fans for being so encouraging.
Changed our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Changed so many lives.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A listener wants to know whether David Strathairn, who she says... she thought was just hilarious in your book, will be making a cameo in the movie.
Oh, sadly, no. I would have loved that. I do occasionally continue to stalk David Strathairn, and he and I now have a little relationship where he knows who I am because I wrote about him in the book. Sadly, no cameo. Maybe in the next movie, if there is one.
And just one more thing before you go. Why did you study to become a butcher, and are there any women who work as butchers?
You know, in America, women butchers are still pretty, really rare. They're popping up more and more, and young butchers in general. It's become sort of it's a reviving art. I've always been fascinated by butchers, and I feel like I sort of got in at a good time where people are really getting interested in all the cuts of meat and how you get it and where you get it from.
I want to thank you so much for being with us. You can see Julie Powell on our website at WNYC.org. She's making a recipe, a classic potato tortilla with peppers, using the peppers from her own little garden of sorts.
Fire escape garden.
It also has a little mayo on top, chipotle mayo. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show
today. It's been really great being here.